in der Form ist, und man dann nur Shabda war. Nur Shabda war noch, ne? カブバンマニマカマジェンマイナのシャブデヨナテカルノゴニナモノマニワクセソンドアノジチュニングチャラテニングカルヤゴジネテネジェヨナニョイノマドマニナチュレノマチマダジェノコテルマインバイノソンチレソネマジオチゴレステタルノジチョンソンポニングバレ
So Jesus the Bhagavan Buddha has said, listen well, excellently, and keep in mind, keep the teachings in mind. So here, in this very verse, the Buddha is referring to three ways of listening to a Dharma, rather how to avoid three faults when one is listening to a Dharma. Here they liken to an upturned container, a stained container, as well as a broken container. So here, firstly, when Buddha says one should listen excellently, here referring that when one is listening to the Dharma, one's mind should not be like an overturned container. When a container or a vessel is turned upside down, no matter how much liquid it may pour into it, none of them will go into that vessel. So hence, when we're listening, if our minds are constantly in a state of distraction, constantly daydreaming, so none of the teachings will eventually enter our minds. So therefore, hence, one should listen to the Dharma. One should listen to the Dharma with a single-pointed mind, in order that the whatever teachings have been that are taught become of benefit to us. Secondly, when one is listening, when the Buddha said, "Listen well," here the Buddha refers to the analogy of like a contaminated vessel. When you have a contaminated vessel, the bowl or container is dirty, no matter how delicious or wonderful the liquids are poured into it, none of them can be drunk, simply because the whatever is poured into the vessel becomes immediately contaminated by whatever dregs are inside. So hence, when one is listening to the Dharma, one should abandon a contaminated state of mind, meaning that one should avoid a biased state of mind or minds filled with disturbing emotions of attachment or anger. Therefore, one should abandon all these defiled states of mind. One should listen to the Dharma with an upright mind, with an upright and honest mind. So here, and then the last one, the Buddha says, keep in mind, here refers to when one is listening to teachings, one should avoid the situation, the fault of being like a broken vessel, a leaky vessel. If it's a leaky vessel, even though you may pour liquids into it, however, soon after, all of them will leak out of the vessel and are nothing. So hence, if one manages to listen to the teachings without distraction or with a pure state of mind, however, if one does not make the intentional effort to retain these instructions or teachings in one's mind, then one will eventually forget them when one leaves the session of teaching. So therefore, one should listen to these teachings by intentionally remembering them and not forgetting these instructions. So this is what we call abandoning the three faulty vessels, when one's the three types of faults when one listens to the teachings.
That is kitchen. That never touching with the owner, but again, the Maki Badis. And maybe a carison will pay out in it, and then carriage and a day, and it is smooth in the second. And then it is silly enough in the family. And then on Jay Nando, young woman made it. That made something of common woman, young woman made it something of it. 但 你要不能来的，去的这样的，你要不能来的，这个叫什么？这个叫什么？你要不能来的，大家去的，你去的。他去的，你要不能来的，现在呀，他，他那个，他那个，人家做的，他那么，没人做的，你去的，他那没空，他那没，你那没什么去的，那边面上，某些方面，人家的嘛，他那边那个地方，某些，要不能来的。
here, when also under also on top of abandoning the three faults of listening, one should also be possessed of the six kinds of thoughts when one is listening to the teachings. Here are the six, we shall not mention all six of them. Of the six, the three most important are think of oneself as being like an ill person. Secondly, thinking of the Dharma as like being like medicine, and thinking of the teacher as being like the doctor. So in general, when a patient is very sick, he or she will find, go about finding a doctor, a physician that is able to heal him or her. And then having found one, they will act in accordance with his or her instructions and then partake of the medicine that is given. And then from there, the patient will recover from his or her illness. So likewise, in a similar situation, we sentient beings, since beginning of this lifetime, since cyclic existence, we have been afflicted by the various afflictive emotions. We have been afflicted with the very intense diseases of the afflictive emotions. And hence, for us, the Dharma is like an antidote. We search for someone to cure us of our afflictive emotions, our problems. So from here, when one meets the spiritual master, the spiritual master is like the doctor who then prescribes the Dharma as a medicine, as an antidote to our afflictive emotions. Then by acting in accordance with the advice of the doctor and partaking of the medicine that is being prescribed to us, then we will have a hope of recovery. So here, by thinking of the guru or the spiritual master as being like a doctor, the prescribed teachings of the Dharma as being like medicine, by partaking of such Dharma medicine, we will recover. Eventually recover from our diseases of the afflictive emotions, and then one will be able to recover from such suffering, just like the ordinary patient.
Yeah. And maybe, even maybe, 일단 저는 매주제나 매든 노비를 다스나 아니면 제제 제주도 파자 이제 편기되었으나 아니면 감성을 대체기로 하고 같은 노지 주인 말 제인 물갈라 소수 주의다 일단 남들 소수 제방되다 주인 제자한테 통일로 문도다 민중까지 넣어놔 아니면 노동 파자 품만지 넣어놔
So likewise, on top of prescribing medicine, the doctor will also prescribe to us a set of conduct or daily activities that one should, or actions that one should avoid or one should take up. You know, so for example, the doctor says, "Oh, this should not be done. You know, by doing this, this will aggravate your condition." So then the patient, having heard that, then, will be fearful of such actions and then will leave them aside. Or the doctor says, if you do this and this, this will have your condition and help improve your condition. So the patient will willingly or happily take up such actions. Likewise, by receiving the Dharma teachings, one should compare one's daily actions or conduct with respect to the Dharma, and if, to see if they are agreeable or harmonious with the Dharma. Those actions or conduct that are not harmonious or agreeable to Dharma practice, one should leave them aside. Those that are agreeable or agreeable or harmonious with Dharma teachings, then one should take up those actions. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 본인의 고지나 본인의 제자들 다 대인정지 고민 고정도 전제지 임하되 제자들은 그 나들 현재 제자 성의 담마 제자 아주 성만해 그러니까 전제는 대인정지 연면 전에 본인의 고민하되 그렇다
So So here, today's teaching is on the practice of taking and practice of giving and taking. So this practice of giving and taking comes under the section of the Buddhist teachings under the particular teaching of exchanging self and others. As mentioned in the traditional teachings, this practice of exchanging self and others is practiced only by bodhisattvas of sharp faculties of higher intellect. It is not a practice that is for bodhisattvas of dull intellect or dull faculties, nor for those of a lower capability, lower capacity, such as the hearers and the solitary realizers, the arhats and pratika buddhas. So here, hence also this instruction of exchange yourself and others is said to be advised to be a secret instruction, kept secret, not revealed to those who are not a proper, who are unable to engage in such practice, because such instruction is said to be extremely profound, and also at the same time being extremely difficult to practice by those who are not qualified. So in order to become a practitioner of giving and taking, in order to become a perfect practitioner in this practice, firstly one needs to have achieved a mental attitude of cherishing others, and then also the simultaneously abandoning self-interest. If one is not able to cultivate, if one is unable to cultivate such an attitude, then one is not able to practice, engage in the practice of giving and taking. So firstly, in order to do that, one needs to spend long periods of time contemplating upon the faults of cherishing oneself, as well as contemplating upon the qualities of cherishing others. So if one is able to contemplate upon these two, the faults of self-cherishing and the benefits of cherishing others, then for a long period of time, eventually one will be able to achieve that aforementioned attitude of abandoning self-cherishing and then abandoning self-interest while cherishing others. If one is able to effect such an attitude in one's mind or in one's being, only then is one qualified to engage in the practice of dhamma or giving and taking. Mm-hmm.
네, 대단한 법문적인데 이제 논하게 나오는데도 반대적인 이제 실천들 때문에 이제 논한데 사람들 본래 그런가 다 이제 논하게 나오는데도 우리 이제 용어가 보면 바로 논하게 나와 될래 단도질로지 뭐지 그래 논이 논하는 단도 내가 제가
During that process, one's mind is simply unable to bear the sufferings of others. So this is a mind that is filled with intense great compassion. And upon the basis of such intense compassion, one voluntarily takes upon the suffering of others upon oneself. One takes the suffering of others upon oneself on the basis of such mind of great compassion. But in order to do that, firstly, one needs to understand, one needs to firstly have a very strong wish to be free of one's own suffering. One needs to, if one is unable to have a mind, if one is unable to engender a mind that wishes to be free of suffering from one's own condition of psychic existence, one's own samsara, one's own suffering, then it's impossible to generate compassion towards the suffering of others. If one firstly does not have the intense desire to be free of one's own suffering, when one sees one sees other people suffering, one does not react with great compassion. So firstly, one needs to understand the way that others are suffering. Then on the basis of that, generating a thought, wishing how wonderful that would, how wonderful it would be if this one could be free of such suffering. And then on the basis of that, then one can generate great compassion. So therefore, as mentioned in the verses, if one does not have renunciation or the wish to be free from suffering, one is unable to generate compassion towards others. Excellent physical basis in meaningless affairs and not engaging Dharma practice, then that would be considered extremely, extremely great loss. So therefore, one should remember this preciousness or the potential of this precious human rebirth, what great meaning one can possibly achieve with it. And by remembering these, then one is inspired to engage in Dharma practice on the very least basis to aspire for the happiness of future lives. By remembering death and then and then engaging in the practice of abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions, and then eventually preventing oneself from taking rebirth or falling into an unfortunate rebirth in the lower realms in one's future lives. So this is the Dharma motivation or the aim, the Dharma aim of practitioners of the lower being or lower capacity. Then on top of this, better than that, if possible, one can even practice what we call three high trainings. On the basis of these three high trainings, one can achieve a state of liberation from the entirety of samsara, be free from the entire cycle of samsaric suffering. And on the basis of that, on the basis of such mind understanding the suffering of samsara, on the basis of understanding one's own samsaric suffering, and then meditating upon samsaric suffering of others, and meditating upon the unbearableness of that, so generating this mind of compassion, and then on the basis of that, generating the mind bodhicitta, wishing in order to free all sentient beings from the ocean of samsara, may I attain the state of Buddhahood in order to do that. So on the basis of this bodhicitta, then engaging, one can also engage in the practice of the six perfections, and on this very physical basis, one can achieve the state of Buddhahood in one lifetime. So therefore, on the basis of this physical body, precious human body, one can engage in such incredible Dharma practice, achieve such incredible results of Dharma practice. So therefore, by remembering impermanence and death, one should think that however for the duration of however long one may remain in this body, one must definitely take the essence of this precious human rebirth by engaging in such levels of Dharma practice.
Thank you.
その小さいわけな、それに相当な道具など、そのままでないのと、こういう感じのまま、言うてくれる、くれるようになってました。
So, if one does not engage in our practice, and one were to die suddenly without having previously engaged in our practice, it is definite that one will be rebirth in the lower realms. The reason or the logic being that since beginning this lifetime, we are constantly engaged in non-virtuous practices, non-virtuous actions, and the amount of negative karma we have accumulated is definitely there. It definitely sticks around us all the time. So therefore, due to the force of that, or due to the burden of that, at the time of death, we definitely take rebirth in the lower realms if one does not engage in proper practice of the Dharma. But here, when one talks about lower realms, it's better than coming and soul, the evil born realms. So here, there are three such realms. That are the hell realms, the hungry ghosts, and those are the animals. So in progressively lighter stages of suffering. So here, an animal realms are considered to be lower realms of the least suffering, when one experiences the least suffering. Even in such animal realms, one can see, one can physically see with one's own eyes the kind of suffering that they endure. For example, devouring each other, or being enslaved by human beings, enslaved by human beings for to engage in work, or for their flesh, for their skin, or for medicinal purposes. One can see also when these animals are being slaughtered. There are different ways of slaughtering, whereby the action of slaughtering is just done mechanically, in a mechanical manner without any sense of compassion. So therefore, on the basis of this, one can see the different kinds of the greater and smaller sufferings of the animal realms. For example, the great big whales in the ocean, they eat the fish. And then the fish, in turn, eat other smaller organisms. So it's not like one is consuming the other and consuming the other in this way. So I just said that even some beings who live in the deep recesses of the ocean live in such darkness and with such huge bodies that sometimes they may open their mouths to bite, to eat whatever comes into their presence, but then not. And then while fighting another sentient being, experiencing pain of themselves, when in actual fact inflicting their own physical bodies without realizing it. So under such circumstances, one can see the intense suffering in such beings. And so also on top of that, the primary suffering of beings in the animal realms is that they are ignorant and dumb. They suffer ignorance and dumbness whereby they are unable to understand or engage in Dharma practice. For example, sometimes we see this saying of what we call the parrot dharma. You know, if you teach a teaching, a particular teaching to a parrot, for example, you say, don't eat bugs, om mani padme hum, negative karma, you know, om mani padme hum. So the parrot can probably repeat that over and over again and say, oh, don't eat bugs, it's negative karma, om mani padme hum. Over and over again, such a sentence, but still continue to eat bugs. So if one can meditate upon such suffering to the animals, you know, and then to actually imagine if one were physically, personally born, reborn in such circumstances, would one be actually able to endure such sufferings or not, you know? And so if one is unable to endure those sufferings, then one definitely endure the mind wishing to practice Dharma. So and you're probably thinking, oh, I came here to listen to the teachings and exchange yourself with others on the practice of giving and thinking, why is this Lama talking about suffering all the time? It's depressing. So one shouldn't think like that, you know, because the very act of giving and taking is giving one's own happiness to others and taking voluntarily and willingly the sufferings of others upon oneself. And when you are trying to think of taking the sufferings of others, firstly you must understand what sufferings they have, you know, what they are undergoing right now, what kind of suffering circumstances are they caught up in. On the translation of that, then can one actually bring to mind a take, can one actually have an object take upon oneself, what kind of different kinds of suffering that they are doing?
I thought in the middle there, I thought you got a lot of money. And then you got a room without having to come in. That's on the duty bomb, you don't have to. It's just one of my kind of duty bomb. And then you got a room, four chimbo, prison. And then my trouble, done that. You can do it in. 세 공민 나요. 늘만 말아. 가지 늘만 말지 파와니 나요. 공고 친구 손이다. 야야 뭐에 코나. 야 동업 모양 좀. 되게 잘. 다 가지는 자동으로 가리 나요. 나카도 동업도 제일 좀 못해. 그런 게 아니라. 이 초롱 최진 못하는 최진이나 잘라마도 좀 보여요. 인생을 이제 단계 쭉 지나요. 인생을 가고, 그래서 단계 지나면 뭔가 뭔가는 좀 추가된 거 말하지. 그래서 제, 일단 뭐 뭔가는 제 제가 노력하면, 일단 제가 필요한 게 뭐 단계를 일반으로 말요, 뭐하지? 等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些人等着这些
So next one meditates upon the suffering of animals, one must understand that the sufferings of the hungry goats around are even worse than those of animals. When we talk about hungry goats, there are different types of hungry goats. And the general suffering of such beings, the fate of such beings, is that they endure constant suffering of hunger and thirst. And most of them have bodies extremely ugly to look at. They have bellies the size of mountains, and they have the throats are fine like a horse's hair. The hair of a horse's tail, a strand of a horse's tail. And so therefore, they are unable, due to such facts, they have difficulty moving around looking for food. And then, because they have such incredible abdomens, you know, so therefore they are constantly in a state of hunger. Whatever little food that manages to go through, whatever food that comes into their presence, they are unable to swallow it. And even whatever little soul is unable to satisfy their hunger because of the intense bellies that they have. And even whatever food, the only foods that they're able to have access to are always blood and pus. They do not receive, even whatever little food they have access to are always blood and pus. They are not the delicious or excellent food and drinks that we enjoy. And when they go to bodies of water, then the water, instead of appearing as water, appears as desert sand. And if they do see bodies of water in the distance, when they go near to it, the bodies of water then simply dry up. And sometimes their bodies are constantly in such suffering while they're constantly searching for long periods of time, many eons, for food and drink while not receiving a single drop of water and not dying from it. So in this, there are instances in scripture by mention of a particular hungry ghost that had, while looking for many eons and long periods of time for food for himself and also for his children, he came across a fully ordained monk who had kept his dog purely, and then had spat and then dedicated a piece of spit to the hungry ghost. So this particular hungry ghost, after many long eons of searching, came upon this piece of spit, and then rabbit hole of it, because it was the only food he could find after saving so many eons, and then cherished it so intensely, wanting to share it with his children, then grabbing hold onto the piece of fit so strongly with clenched fists, and not letting go on his journey back, that eventually his nails of the hungry goat's nails of the hungry goat grew into his own flesh, you know, while he's still with clenched fist, you know. So such intense suffering, you know, of even just such something so insignificant like squid becomes of such precious value, such incredible value under such circumstances. Then next, when the season turns warm, even at night when the moon rises, instead of feeling cool, they get burnt by the rays of the moon. And in the cold weather, even when the sun rises, they do not experience warmth, but they experience chills of being freezed, frozen by the rays of the sun. So they experience such intense suffering in their realms. Yes.
그러니까 근데 관계에서 상관은 제일 단다 뭔가 무슨 문제를 개봉 질라 제작이 된 건데 근데 건강 예를 들면 가시 붓고 다 첫째가 치치 첫째가 너는 추모 건가 때문에 이제 한 추월 좀 이제 대응 된질 것 같아 다 추모 이제 좀 많아지 但是我空间虽然多得多嘛，嗯，在慢慢都出发过，那等于出发到环境，到这完就可以让我，注意的前景的对，很自然的，你就这样慢慢去，看风景怎么出发，但是你到里面弄出来的什么，等于做多少年来，但是你注意哪去，你怎么懂得哪个，那肯定是心。이 내가 누구는 그 손이 제가 아니에요. 아주 많은 분들이 되어주죠. 그들이 다니는 방식을 세인들 이런 하던 일입니다.
So sometimes there are instances in the past where whereby people experience visions of the karmic appearance of hungry ghosts. This is mentioned in the scriptures and is in the text that this particular monk while you're sleeping at night, experience the coming appearance of the hungry ghost realms. He was sleeping, and then while he was asleep, then he felt kind of extremely thirsty. So he went forth in search of water. Then he came upon the river Ganga, river Ganges in India, which was one of the four biggest rivers in the entirety of India. When he arrived by the side of the river Ganges, all that he saw was only sand, just dry riverbed of sand, didn't see a single drop of water. So he had to went searching in such a way in the long periods of time, but throughout the whole night still couldn't find any water. So then he came back to his room, and the very next day when he woke up, and with such thirst, he still remembered his experience the previous night, and whereby he went searching for water, didn't find any. And so then he went to the river Ganges the next day to look for water, and he saw water there instead. So the night before he had the karmic appearance of the hungry ghost realms. So the night before when he went searching for the river Ganges, when he was searching for water on the river Ganges, he crossed a riverbed while not perceiving a single drop of water. So then he, on the other side of the riverbed was a tree, and there he left his robes hanging on the tree, and then he went back to his room. So the next day when he woke up, he remembered that the whole river Ganges was simply a dry riverbed, and he went looking for the river Ganges, and he saw the water. The river Ganges was exactly still there. It wasn't dry as the night before. And on the tree opposite riverbank, his robe was still hanging there. So as a proof that he was actually there by the river the night before. Yes. Mm-hmm.
있다. 이다. 아, 컨트롤을 해야 된다. 뭐라 해야 되나? 이제 보세요. 그러면 그게 이다.